This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
I'm going to start singing the...
That was singing?
That was singing. It was like kind of... What was the singing in... what was that? The Electric Company? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I think that was Sesame Street.
Was it? Electric Company was part of Sesame Street at one point, I believe.
I don't think that's true. But also...
I think it is true.
Tom... You can look it up.
We'll look it up during the break. Look it up during the two-hour break we take during the episode.
That what you were just singing was the Pointer Sisters.
What was I singing?
Yeah.
Wait,
from
me?
Sesame Street. The 1, 2, 3, 4. Five.
Oh, yeah.
But like the Pointer Sisters.
I thought
you
were saying that they sang a song about The Complete Guide to Everything.
No, the Pointer Sisters, though.
Uh-huh.
They had really good singing voices.
Yeah.
Like and what me. I was saying was, it just sounded like you were talking, and then you were like, that's me singing. You know, like the Pointer Sisters. And you didn't sound anything like the Pointer Sisters.
Well, I'm trying the best I can, goddammit. How are you doing this week?
I'm so excited.
What are you so excited about?
I got Pointer Sisters on the vine.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because they had the song about being so excited.
Yeah.
That's a good song. Nobody had a song about being so excited before that, huh?
I'm about to lose my mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could fit a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot. Like songs nowadays, not to sound
God.
Like,
all right. Here we go.
With the what do they call it? Hippity hop? No, they're just... I mean, I know there's more music being made now than ever, but I'm saying like popular music.
Okay.
I feel like when we were kids and even before we were kids.
It wasn't so sexual all the time.
Nah, I mean, there were a lot of sexual songs, but there were songs about like going to work and not liking it and stuff. just being so excited about something.
Yeah.
And I feel like now
there's a lot of songs about being depressed now.
Yeah. But even then, I feel like it's more specific to a situation. It's like, oh, here's a song about a thing I'm depressed about, rather than
You just think it should be like, there's songs about I'm so general
depressed.
Emotions.
Yeah. I'm so blue. I don't know what to do.
I mean, in the past, what's the Longview, the Green Day song? Yeah, that's just a song about being bored in general.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm so damn bored, I'm going blind.
I'm so bored.
That's not how that song goes.
Yeah.
You don't know much about music, do you, Tom?
No,
you don't understand music as like a concept.
No, I don't really understand how the notes work and singing singing is different than talking. But again, Tim, I'm excited to learn.
How are you doing this week, Tom?
Also pretty good. I had a good Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're doing a rare Tuesday night record due to some scheduling situations.
Yeah, you're going away.
I'm going on an airplane.
You're going up the river.
That's to Sing Sing?
I think you can say up the river about any jail.
I know, but it originated from Sing Sing,
oh, did
right?
it?
Because it's up the river.
Yeah. I mean, you think that was the first jail that was up a river?
I think that's where maybe not.
Yeah.
It seems silly to build a jail on a river, though. That's a pretty slick getaway if you're a good swimmer.
Oh, absolutely. Have you ever been to Alcatraz?
I have not.
I've been to Alcatraz. I went and did the tour of Alcatraz. It was really cool.
And but that's not a river where like it's
it's a bay.
It's flowing away from the you swim with the current. And
yeah.
Just.
But even then, just looking at Alcatraz, I was looking at the city of San Francisco and thinking, I think I can make that. I think I could do that
How long is it? How far is it?
No, it's like a few miles and it's freezing cold water. It's incredibly difficult.
I think I can swim a few miles.
I think I can too.
Well, you were like a lifeguard. I didn't make it.
I think I'm very good at least being able to rest on the water.
Okay. Go on your back and float.
Yeah, just doing a back float or dead man's float.
People can do
just
that,
treading
though, right?
Water.
I never understood why you float on your back, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they also in swimming lessons taught you to float.
The dead man's float.
Yeah, where it's just like, why would I float the way where I can't breathe during it when I can float the way where I can breathe during it?
Yeah, I'd like to hear if there was ever anybody that like actually used the dead man, which I think they call like the survival float in an actual survival situation.
Are you more buoyant that way because your belly's touching the water or something?
I think you're less like it's easier. Because, even when you're floating on
it's
your...
It's hard to do things when you can't breathe. In general, it's, hard to do most things.
But the whole thing is that you're just, slowly, pushing yourself up to breathe every few seconds or whatever.
Right.
However often you need it. Over, 20 seconds, I think, ideally.
I don't know. When my face touches water, I freak out. So, I can't relax enough to be, I'm just going to calmly bring my head up.
Yeah.
Take a breath and then put my head down.
My concern would be getting too relaxed and just forgetting to breathe.
Well,
laying there.
Well, then you're a real dummy if you.
Then you deserve to drown if you drown because you forgot to breathe.
Yeah, if you could be so relaxed that you forget to breathe, Tom, sleeping would be out of the question.
Yeah. Well, I guess wouldn't really be afraid of death. If that were the case, so I'd probably be fine with what happened next.
Wait, you wouldn't be afraid of death?
If I was not afraid of not breathing, if I was so relaxed that if I was like on a ship that capsized and then I'm just sitting there doing the survival stroke and I'm like, never been more
relaxed.
Well,
that's what they say that about drowning, right?
That's
like,
nice.
Calm eventually comes over you. Or do they just say that to comfort the people who lost loved ones to drowning?
I don't know.
Oh, he was happy and calm at the end, actually. He wasn't just fighting, desperately fighting for his life.
Right, because we know about that from people that, have then recovered, that they've told us that. It's maybe after that, though, you start freaking out again, and that's when you actually drown.
Actually, when you're being ripped apart limb by limb by a bear, Your body just goes into ecstasy.
Yeah.
So, the grizzly man was actually very happy, and that's what Werner Herzog was hearing on that audio tape, a man's ecstatic screams.
Yeah, I think just anything where you're, suffocating or bleeding out, where you're not dying slowly, but you're not dying instantly, or you're not being, physically ripped apart or whatever. It kind of makes sense that it's your body just slowly shuts down and probably you would be freaking out, but you no longer have enough energy to freak out.
Right.
And that's just the way things go. It's a lovely intro to the
pancakes and waffles.
Pancakes and waffles. Now, Tim, did you think about that these should be two episodes?
Yeah, but you know what, Tom? This came in through a listener suggestion, a patron suggestion over on patreon.com/completeguide.
Oh, so it wasn't just from any Patreon.
No, we don't go on the Doughboys Patreon and go what are some of their ideas?
Let's see what their questions are.
Yeah, we should,
not
though.
A bad
I don't
idea.
Know. They get
yeah.
a lot more engagement than
yeah,
we do.
Yeah, how come nobody left us a suggestion in the comments saying that? Hey, check out these other Patreons for ideas. But the person who suggested it, they suggested both pancakes and waffles.
And so we're trying to be respectful of our
patrons. True to their
patrons.
Word.
Yeah, exactly.
I looked it up because I thought it's like, well, yeah, what's the difference between these two? There is a difference.
Yeah, waffle has squares in it.
That's what I thought too, Tim, but there's another difference. But it's one of those things where there's a difference, but you only if the person making these things is adhering to the slight difference between them.
Right.
You know, so.
But you have to assume that they are, right? You have to assume, like, this is the way a food is provided it's made correctly.
But it's kind of
it's like, oh, a hamburger is a beef burger, right? Mm-hmm. But like, that's only if somebody's not using an old boot instead of beef, right? Like, it's like,
but these, it's kind of the difference from what I saw is kind of only in comparison. So a waffle or a pancake in a vacuum.
Well, I mean, they'd fall at the same rate.
They would,
and they'd fall just as fast as a feather and
a hammer.
And
a marble. I think it was a hammer and a feather they dropped on the moon to show.
They did it on the moon?
Yeah, they did it on the moon because there's no atmosphere.
Ah.
So they were like, let's finally, once and for all, put this to the test.
See, I think most people, I mean, you can create a vacuum without going to the moon. They did it on growing pains.
Yeah, but
Kirk Cameron did it.
Why'd he do it?
Because he was substitute teaching.
Why was he substitute teaching?
I don't know. He's an idiot, right?
Yeah, Mikey was a moron.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have him substitute teaching. And he knew how to make a vacuum, though?
I mean, it came with, like, the teacher kit or something. They give teachers supplies and stuff. The teachers don't. Teachers in general, Tom, they don't have to teach themselves everything and, like, you know, like, come up with, like, all these. But, like, there are lesson plans and stuff and curriculum.
That's why I never respected teachers. Come up with your own ideas.
That's how Mike Seaver met Leonardo DiCaprio and how they eventually adopted young Leo into their home.
Oh, because he was like a later season.
Yeah.
Growing pains.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was while Mikey was still in school.
Calling him Mikey.
That's what Mr. Seaver calls him. So that's what I'm calling him.
Jason Seaver? Dr. Jason Seaver?
Yeah, Dr. Seaver is what I call him. Damn, I like to respect the family, pretend like I'm in there myself. But anyway.
Wait, hold on. Special shout out to Eric from Patreon for suggesting waffle. He actually suggested waffles and pancakes. So we are taking some license here.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, it's the agreement you're making when you leave a comment. We may.
Hey, this is why we're the hosts. We can punch things up.
Yeah.
We know what sings, baby. Waffles and pancakes? That sounds weird.
Yeah.
Pancakes and waffles?
Hey, now that sells.
That's sexy.
Here's the difference.
That's getting me all hot and bothered.
All right. Tim, you're going the other way and not selling it now.
Red face.
We're going to have to change it back to waffles and pancakes. Waffle batter usually has more fat, often in the form of oil or melted butter, and sometimes more sugar. This higher fat content contributes to a crispier textured outside while remaining light and fluffy inside.
Okay.
Some waffle.
Where did this come from? Goodhousekeeping.com?
This came from ChatGPT, so it might be made up.
Jesus Christ. You're the guy still using ChatGPT?
What do you mean I'm the guy? Everybody's using it, Tim.
It's a fad, Tom.
Some
fidget spinner.
Some waffle recipes call for whipped egg whites to be folded into the batter, further lightening the texture.
I can't trust any of this ChatGPT.
Well, it makes sense because, like, you want you want both of them to be light. Nah, do you want your pancakes to be light and fluffy?
It depends. There are so many different types of pancakes, Tom.
But I feel like waffles, you kind of want waffles to be like crispy and light.
You want crispy on the inside, light and fluffy on the inside.
Yeah,
crispy on the outside. Sorry.
Right.
And crispy on the inside.
You want like a Schrodinger's waffle. It has to be both until it comes out.
You don't know, yeah.
The waffle iron.
Yeah.
But what
do you own a waffle iron, Tom?
I do not. Do you?
I think I do, but
but you're afraid to say?
No, I haven't. I had one at one point. I'm not sure if it like survived every move. Yeah.
it's not a great purchase, right? Unless you have a lot of kitchen space.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, just make a pancake then. Yeah. Or just like buy frozen waffles.
Yeah.
You don't need a whole dedicated gadget for this thing.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong, a waffle iron's great. There's nothing I love more at a like a hotel continental breakfast than a waffle iron and just like a big punch bowl of batter. And you can make your own waffles.
Excuse me out, Tom.
You don't like it?
I don't like the communal batter bowl.
Right. You don't like the idea somebody might have brought their own batter, mix it in there with it?
No. Well, yeah. Maybe somebody spikes the batter.
Right.
Well, I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if I have an important business meeting?
Boozy waffles? Yeah. What if I've told myself, all right, I'll hit the continental breakfast and then the business center for a half hour before the meeting, get all my faxes done.
What if a restaurant had a brunch thing and the cook didn't understand what a boozy brunch is?
Oh,
and he just got to put like a bunch of whiskey in the pancakes and waffle batter.
I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
You wouldn't get you drunk and cook off, and probably
and you would taste it.
Yeah, you wouldn't like that.
Or you might like it, but yeah, how many are you gonna have enough waffles to get loaded before a big meeting?
That's what you do at a boozy brunch?
No, I'm
on a Sunday.
No, I'm saying I'm at the Continental Breakfast.
Oh, we're going back to the Continental Breakfast.
Yeah,
now. Okay.
You know that in Japan, fax machines are still a big thing.
Really?
Yeah. Here's the weirdest thing about Japan, Tim.
Okay.
You know how, like, when we were kids and it's like, wow, Japan's like the future.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed there. So they still have just like fax machines are still very commonplace.
Why instead of email?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just
they
kind of.
They think it's kitschy and cool?
No, I think it's just kind of, you know, there were certain business practices or whatever that required a fax machine, and those things just kind of never got updated. What's the other one? There was something else that I learned recently that they also use. I mean, they still have like tons of vending machines, but that's awesome. But yeah, there was something else. It wasn't cell phones, but something along those lines where it's like, oh, I thought they would have had the craziest ones of those. And it's like, no, they still have the ones from the 90s.
Huh. Japan, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
what I was told by the book and film Rising Sun is that they were a threat to the American way of life and economy.
Yeah, it turned out not to be the case.
Yeah.
Mr.
Baseball had a pretty good run over there, though. Tom Selleck.
Mr. Baseball did. They've got a weird society going on over there right now.
I don't think you can say that, Tom.
I can
I don't
say
think
that,
you should say that.
Because they've got all these guys, I forget what they're called, but they're basically shut-ins.
Tom, have you taken a look at American society lately?
I know, and I'm seeing how it's going over here, so I can't imagine it's going great over there either. Yeah. That's all I have to say about how their society's weird.
All right.
That they got a lot of shut-ins.
Okay, we got a lot of shut-ins, and then we got a lot of shut-ins that like decide not to be a shut-in, and then we have a horrific gun culture as well.
Yeah, well, they have stabbings and stuff over there.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's not as bad, but I'm just saying their nuts do nutty things too.
Yeah, I was thinking how. The other day, I thought I was about to get stabbed in an elevator.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were about to start doing something.
No. Mm-hmm. And I just thought about how painful and unpleasant it would be to be stabbed.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to be stabbed.
Nah, same here.
And like, I got off that elevator thinking, like resolving,
to never
okay,
be stabbed.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to take one of those like self-defense classes where they teach you all the moves to like disarm somebody.
Disembowel somebody.
Yeah. Well, you disarm them and then you disembowel them.
Knives are tricky, man.
I know. That's why I'm going to take a class.
Yeah, even the class. The best thing you can do.
I might not survive the class.
The best thing, that was
armor.
In The Irishman. You see a knife, run away. A gun, you charge towards them. A knife, run away.
Hmm.
Because, yeah. I've also heard this about knives, because I think I read something about like is it good to like have a knife for self defense? And the example they gave was they're like, a knife is like a toddler with a magic marker. Like, you might be able to get it away from him without getting magic marker on you,
right.
but probably not. And he'll get magic marker on him too. Like, that's a knife.
Right.
Like, people that get into knife fights, even if it's their
knife, everybody's all fucked up.
They normally get cut and stabbed. Like, hey, stay away from knives unless you're digging into a nice pancake or waffle.
Hmm. Can I tell you one thing?
What?
I have a 2-year-old son. He's great. He's got a two-handed, like, I'm trying to see if he's a lefty or righty.
Okay.
And he uses magic markers.
You keep throwing knives to him, see which ones he catches exactly. them with?
He'll get it one day. He'll catch one of them. he holds the marker with two hands.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like, for and extra stability.
He won't do it with just one hand ever?
He will. It's usually the left hand, Tom.
Oh, yeah. The devil. He's chosen the left-handed path.
It's like his dad.
Yeah. Devil like his dad.
I guess he relates to his Unky Tom, actually.
Oh, because, yeah.
The ambidextrous.
Cross-dominant.
Cross-dominant. Yeah, ambidextrous is like...
good.
Yeah, cross-dominant is just confused. Some wires got crossed.
Yeah, ambidextrous means you can do things with both hands like equally as well for the most part. But I'm cross-dominant, which it's like a which I learned now they treat as a like a learning disability to kids.
Like, and some things you do left-handed, some things you do right-handed.
Yes.
But like, it's not like I can do both with either.
Yeah, I'm maybe a little bit better than the average person with like the non-dominant hand.
I mean, is that just self-assessed?
Yeah, like I think I can throw better with my right arm than most lefties can throw with their. No, I do throw with my right arm. That's why.
Oh my god!
But I'm saying I think I can throw, I throw with my right, but I write with my left.
Right.
And
well, that's just so you can you can multitask.
Yeah, exactly. So I can be an A+ student while also being a star
triple
athlete.
A pitcher. Yeah.
So I can throw with my left a little better than most righties can.
Right.
But not really, to be honest. I can like write with my left hand maybe a little better than a righty could write with their left hand.
You write with your left hand all the time, Tom.
I'm saying I can write with my right hand.
Yeah, but
better.
That's not what you said earlier. Oh. You're cross-dominant.
See, it's hard to keep track of what I can do with what. This is how I got.
Do you wake up every morning and you're like, okay, time to write in my journal, and then just stare at your hands like, right hand, left hand, which one is it?
Yeah. Yeah, if I haven't written on them the day before an L on my left palm and a R on my right, then yeah, it takes a while.
I'm right-footed when it comes to kicking a soccer ball.
Okay, I think that's fairly common. Actually, I don't know for lefties. That might not be. But I mean, you didn't like play.
No.
Much
yeah,
soccer.
I don't kick well with either foot.
Yeah. But yeah, cross dominant.
I think Chat GPT is wrong though, because like
Chad GPT.
How do you pronounce it? I'm not.
You think they're wrong about waffle batter and pancake batter being different?
I just think that, like, yeah, of course, like, there's fat content in, like, there's oil and butter in pancakes.
That's
as well.
What I'm saying. It's only, the only difference is when you're putting them side by side. Because who's to say if you made a waffle with more butter than what? Unless you got a pancake to compare it to right there.
Right.
Your waffle that has more butter might be somebody else's pancake that has a normal amount of butter.
My thing is this, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Bisquick.
Yeah.
Right? That's the equalizer here, right?
Because
you mix up some Bisquick, you follow the instructions on the box, if you want pancakes, you just pour it into a frying pan. You want waffles, you pour it into a waffle iron.
Yeah.
Well, this is why we're not doing two episodes. Because if you can make both equally with Bisquick, then what are we doing here?
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm saying the difference between them is negligible at best. Sure, maybe some people think, waffles, you want to have a little more butter in it and maybe a little more sugar. All right. Yeah.
So take that, haters, who are looking at this, be like, oh, you should have separated these out. No.
Yeah.
Bisquick, you dunce.
I remember there was a waffle iron at college that was like very popular. And I think it was just people eating severely undercooked waffles.
I mean, whatever. It's fine.
I would just eat the batter. It was fine.
College, what would you give to go back to eating at a
college
cafeteria
food hall
every day with the metabolism you had when you were doing? I had a patty melt for lunch like every day, and yeah. I had Lucky Charms and a quesadilla for breakfast every morning.
Yeah, I would get quesadillas a lot. I forgot about those.
There was just a grill, and there was a guy there.
Yeah.
And I'd swipe my card, and they'd be like, all right, go in and just, like, you know, eat your face off. And there was, like, a salad bar that I ignored for four full years.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, I didn't know what a patty melt was, but, like, I heard somebody else order it.
But you picked up real quick.
And I didn't really like it. I didn't like the rye bread so much.
Oh,
like,
really?
Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Well, why didn't you just get a hamburger?
Well, I did sometimes.
Okay.
It's a dessert. It's a palate cleanser.
Oh, as a second burger?
Yeah.
You're like, I don't like patty melts after you've eaten one.
Yeah.
I'd like a hamburger. I used to get this sandwich called the Times Square.
Ooh.
Made me feel like because like in our food hall, there was, like a bunch of stations essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like kind of brand, like the way a TV show would brand something with like a non-brand, you know what I mean? And I don't remember what they all were, but I remember there was like...
I always ate a Charlie's Chicken.
No, I always ate the New York Deli.
Ah, nice.
And I would get the Times Square when I was feeling homesick for Times Square. And, man, this was such a good, I don't know why it was called a Times Square, but it was a, roast beef sandwich on a croissant that then they would put in.
How do you say that, huh?
What? Croissant?
Yeah.
That then they would put in a steamer, like a steam machine.
Okay.
And it would steam the hell out of it. And it would come out. Oh, so
delicious.
The
bread would come out all soggy?
The whole thing would come out all soggy, but it would melt all the cheese, like all the cheddar cheese on it. It's very good.
One thing that I...
I've never seen it before or since. Just a
sandwich steamer. Let's go to Times Square, see if it's there.
Yeah.
One thing that... what?
Never mind.
See, you know what, Tom?
Uh-huh.
Siri kept waking up for me all day name. Today. I was having conversations online with people.
Wow.
Don't ask. And when I'd say things, Siri would just be like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, oh, that's fine. Yeah. I didn't ask
all
you.
All right. Well, then that explains it. It sounds like it's you that's causing all these triggering.
Yeah.
Stop triggering Siri, Tim.
Sorry. She doesn't want to hear what I have to say.
I have a HomePod.
Yeah, I don't have any of those.
Speaker. It's great. You should get one because sometimes at like 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll just go, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that and scare the hell out of you.
You have a HomePod. Look, we'll get to pancakes and waffles after the break. Do you use it for anything?
I use it for...
Do you ever use the voice commands for anything?
Yes. I think that's like the only thing I really use it for.
Setting timers?
Yeah, it doesn't have buttons, you know?
Yeah.
Or it has volume. It has like, I guess it has like capacitive buttons or whatever, but I never really use buttons. I do use it sometimes if I'm the only one here.
Right.
And I get out of the shower and I'm listening to a podcast.
Siri,
in the shower.
Put on some pornography.
Siri, activate Goon Cave mode.
Goon Cave. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tim, let's talk pancakes and waffles.
Let's keep things on track here. Let's not talk about how painful things are when you're dying.
Right. Caves of any kind.
Yeah, no caves.
Goon or not.
Yeah.
Do you like waffles? That's my first question here.
Do I like waffles?
Let me ask you this. Which do you prefer?
Pancakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going to say no-brainer waffles.
You know what?
We just edited in a half hour of fighting sounds. Half hour of just two men wrestling. Ow, ow, stop.
That's, well, I was going to reference a specific Sopranos scene, but you're not, you haven't watched it as recently as I have. Yeah, I think the versatility of pancakes is interesting to me.
Yeah, you're a simple guy. You like simple things.
What do you mean? No, I'm saying it's versatile. You can
because it's simple.
It's a variety of things, right? You can have like very thin crepe-like, right? Like crepes fit the bill, and then you roll up some stuff into it, or you get some thick and fluffy pancakes, which is the opposite.
I mean, you can do the same thing with waffles.
I mean, you're not rolling anything up in a waffle.
You can roll things up in a waffle. What's a Choco Taco?
That's not a real waffle, Tom. That's insane. And also, waffle cones are not... That's not...
It's got the name waffle right in it.
Yeah, it's a
type of waffle.
It's not a type of waffle. It's a waffle applied to another food.
So you think a crepe is more similar to a pancake than a waffle cone is to a waffle?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I guess that makes sense.
I had my finger hovering over that fight sound button, but abort, abort.
But I like the fact that waffles are complicated. I don't think
that waffles are... When did I say that waffle? I said pancakes are versatile. I didn't say that waffles...
You said that they're simple, which is why...
No, you don't know what versatile means.
No, you said they were simple.
No, I said versatile.
In a simple way. And that's what makes waffles complicated.
See,
complex.
Tom, you never listen. That's the thing.
All right, then wax poetic about pancakes. Tell me what's so great about
them. No, I just said they were versatile, and I explained how they were versatile, and then you said, yeah, but waffles aren't simple. Tell me how waffles aren't simple.
All right, let me ask you this then. Is your decisions the same if you're getting just breakfast?
Yes.
Okay.
What other context are you thinking about? Well, like savory crepes?
Yeah, like you're saying pancakes are versatile, and I don't disagree with that, even though I did earlier. But
we clarified for you what versatile meant.
Right.
It's not a synonym for simple.
It's potentially
more of an antonym if we're being honest here, right?
Simple and versatile?
Yeah.
No, because something simple can be versatile. Think about a ball.
All right. Okay. Wow. All right. You just had that one ready to go. Queued up.
I mean, yeah.
All right.
Guilty as charged, I guess. It was the first thing that came to my head. I'm just saying, like, I get it. You know, you can do a lot of different things with waffles, but I'm just saying, or with pancakes, if you're just doing like a breakfast at a diner, you're still going pancakes.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Because have you ever heard of chocolate chip waffles? No.
Yeah, and there's no reason I haven't, right?
I think it would mess up the whole iron. Like, they need to have to clean it off before the next batch. Yeah. That's the other thing. Specialized equipment, you know.
That's true, yeah. Oh, I mean, for sure, if I'm making them at home, waffles, because I don't have, or pancakes, because I don't have a waffle iron.
This is the irony. I do have a waffle iron.
Yeah. Well, you think you might.
I might. I did at one point.
Recently I got into Eggo waffles. But
we eat a lot of Eggo waffles at my house.
Oh, because of the boy.
Yeah.
I realized when I was going to say that, I didn't get into Eggo waffles. I bought a box of Eggo waffles because I think they were on sale for like $2. And I thought, yeah, that'd be a good thing to have around, some Eggo waffles. And it was a good thing to have around. They were pretty good to have. Just pop them in the toaster.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly doesn't compare with like a nice Belgian waffle, but all things considered.
We're not in Belgium.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah. Does your boy eat them frozen or cooked?
See, usually cooked,
mm-hmm.
But he realized that like if he runs away with it, like, you know, he's at the phase where he wants to help with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have.
But is also not good at helping at anything.
Exactly. So he's like, I want to do it. I want to do it. So it's like, it's more work because like I have to facilitate you doing it because like you're very, very short. Because
right.
You're two. Mm-hmm. And like you probably shouldn't work the toaster oven by yourself.
Right. Yeah. You like don't know which parts not to touch.
We do have a freezer, like a drawer on the bottom of the.
Yeah.
He can really like pull with all his might and get the freezer open, which is a bad situation.
Yeah.
And then he'll go in and get a waffle. Or sometimes the box of popsicles is right next to the box of waffles.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like 6:30 in the morning, and then he'll pull out a popsicle and run away with that. he's like, no, a popsicle for breakfast.
Yeah.
But like now he's realized he can just take the frozen waffle, run away with it, and start eating it. And
That's what my niece.
Real freaking psycho behavior.
My niece would only eat frozen waffles. The mini ones. The like Eggo minis.
I never thought of the Eggo minis.
Yeah. That was her thing. That like I remember even like babysitting her and being told like, yeah, for breakfast you just give her some frozen waffles. It's like, are you sure? Like, our child protective service is going to show up? Of like, you couldn't even put them in the microwave for 30 seconds, huh? You people make me sick. And my brother and sister-in-law were like, no, that's the way she prefers to eat them.
See, this is the thing. We won't put peanut butter on a frozen waffle.
Mm.
So we're going to heat it up. And if he wants peanut butter, got to put the peanut butter.
And does that work? Is that enough to sell them on the idea?
You know, sometimes. Like, sometimes. I don't know.
Sometimes like, how about
these 2 year olds? They're fickle.
Yeah. Or he's like, how about this? I'll eat this and then I'll scream later to make you do the other thing if I want.
Yeah. The negotiation generally goes like, how about this? I'll do this and you can go fuck yourself.
Right.
It's like, man, I shouldn't have taught you that phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my bad. You don't teach a
hardline
negotiation.
He's a good negotiator, Tim. Yeah. He got you guys that new car for unbelievable price by simply having the ability to walk away.
Yeah, he earned that breakfast popsicle, my friend. Yeah. That day. Yeah, Eggo, owned by Kellogg's.
Yeah,
they're just cornering the breakfast market, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's what happens, right? That. These companies, they decide, like, hey, we have to grow constantly.
Yeah.
What else can we do? Like, should we start making dinner cereal? Nah. I mean, they probably tried, right?
Yeah. I'd be yeah, savory cereal.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested now.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody...
It's kind of like dog food. It seems like that'd be like dog, right? Like cereal that tastes like steak. Yeah. Little steak pellets.
Yeah, and you don't have to refrigerate it. It's it's always stays good. But I'll tell you what, if through some, like wacky mishap, I got hired as an executive at Kellogg's, that's why I'd walk in day one, say, I've got two words for you, fellas. Dinner cereal.
Yeah, Tom, I think you're selling yourself short here, that it has to be some like wacky situation, some King Ralph situation that...
I mean, I have little to no experience.
Yeah, why don't you put your
business mind
to it and sell yourself?
Yeah, I should. All right. Well, if you're listening out there, Kellogg's, I have a great
idea. Send them a resume.
I have a great idea for you.
Don't
it's
tell
not,
them the
it's
idea.
Not,
yet.
No,
yeah.
It's a different idea. It's a very good one, and I'll tell
you. Before we release this episode, Tom, just write down the two words, dinner cereal.
Uh-huh.
Put it in an envelope, seal the envelope, mail it to yourself.
Mail it to myself, and then I've always got it.
Yeah,
we were talking about that a little bit beforehand, about how I was telling you how mad I got reading this story about something kind of unrelated, but a bunch of people in the comments being like, you know, I had the idea for DoorDash, and man, I knew I should have done it. I would have been a billionaire. And it's like, you wouldn't have been able to do it. The idea of, hey, you know, your phone, you know how like you can order food through it? No, not calling on the phone. What about this? You know, the new phones, they have screens. What if you could do order food? Yeah, that's why it took off, because it was an obvious idea.
Yeah, you gotta do the thing.
Yeah, it wasn't that nobody thought, oh, you know, it'd be convenient.
You know,
like
what was my idea? Shooting a rocket into space to the moon.
Right, yeah.
And having a guy walk around up there dropping a hammer and a feather at the same time.
Tim, if some Uber Eats executives listening to this and thinking like, finally, this guy's giving us the kudos we deserve. It is on par with landing a man on the moon,
our
operation.
It's affected my life.
Yeah.
More. I mean, I've never used Uber Eats or DoorDash.
Requires literally millions times more computing power to pull off.
Right. But just because something's harder doesn't mean it's more useful to me personally. I don't care that somebody went to the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it really hasn't affected you in your day-to-day life.
Has it affected you?
You know, it's like one of those things where I'm sure in some way they're like, oh, actually, you know, we made a new metal alloy for that mission, and that metal alloy then became...
No, you would hear about
a waffle
that.
Iron.
Yeah, you would hear about it if there was any...
No,
like...
I think there are things that I've heard about that they, you know, figured out. I mean, I do think going to the moon's a good idea because it's literally a moonshot, and I'm sure, you know, we advanced a bunch of science by trying to do that we wouldn't have been able to advance on our own. But same thing with DoorDash. And
you know
Seamless.
That song or poem, Whitey on the Moon?
No.
The Gil Scott Heron thing?
No, I don't know this one.
That's the way I feel about the space program. Yeah? It's just like, you could use that, you know, there's society here. Mm-hmm. There's society here, and Gil Scott Heron was talking specifically, I think, about black Americans, but it's just like, he spent a lot of money doing that. Cool.
Yeah,
how does this affect me?
Yeah, that money probably could have helped a lot of people out.
Yeah, not just old Mr. Armstrong. Sent him on a nice trip.
Yeah, he pocketed any of that moon, any of those moon rocks.
Sure.
They got to strip search those guys when they come back from the moon.
I think it's kind of like, you know, when after you're president, it's like, all right, and now you like. You know, we didn't pay you, you know, we paid you like a few $100,000 a year.
Right.
But you're like, you're not rich from this.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you were corrupt. Mm-hmm. But now you get to like be corrupt. Now you get to just go make speeches.
Yeah, $1 million speeches.
And I think that's kind of like, look, you're an astronaut. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to have to do much. You're going to sit in a chair real blast. You can do your thing. But it'll like be a lot of time.
Yeah.
We're not going to pay you that much, but like bring back all the moon dust you want and like sell it on the secondary market.
No, they bring back all the moon dust and NASA gets all that moon dust.
No, NASA, I think they're cool. They look the other way. It's like part of the system. It's like part of the agreement. Like, yeah, bring back some official moon dust in the vials or whatever that we need to. But then also, like, you got some in your pockets. We're not frisking you on the way out. That's yours, Neil Armstrong. That's the kicker.
I put it in my mouth just
because, like,
sure.
Neil Armstrong was like a $38,000 a year, like, federal employee or something.
Yeah. That moon dust's very sharp.
Huh.
Yeah. Very sharp. Be careful. If you're ever on the moon, Tim, be very careful. The moon dust, it can be very sharp. Mm. Yeah. It gets on everything, too. A lot of, like, it's like stack electricity.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, my couch, it's like nonstop shocks that my family's giving each other.
Maybe you should think about grounding it.
Grounding a couch.
Yeah, run a wire out the window.
So you're saying that if I just, you know... It doesn't go anywhere, though. You know, I can't just be like, oh, yep, yeah, no going out this weekend.
Oh, no, Tim, you misunderstand. Not punishing the couch.
Well, for shocking my family, that would be appropriate.
Yeah, but you know what, Tim? Couches don't learn that way. What I'm saying is ground.
I've been using corporal punishment.
I've been jumping on the couch. Tim, I was looking up one of the problems with waffles and pancakes.
Okay.
Delicious. A lot of carbs.
Oh yeah, people don't like carbs. Just ask Rob Lowe.
That guy hasn't eaten a carb since 1987.
Yeah, he's an Atkins man.
Yeah. There's keto pancakes and waffles.
Hmm.
And I was looking at this, and I was kind of like,
what are they making all this? Because they got the keto cereal, too. I mean, Kellogg should look into this, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things where I was like, I get it. You
tried keto and it gave you gout.
Exactly. So I'm already against it for that reason alone. But, you know, some of these like keto products I see in the store or whatever, and I'm like, look, if you really just want to eat like a whole fucking tray of cupcakes, then maybe this isn't the diet for you. Maybe you need to figure out something else. But these keto pancakes don't sound bad because basically it's just almond flour instead of like regular flour.
That's fine.
Yeah, I bet these taste all right.
All right, so the Martha Stewart.
Blanched. You got to get it blanched, though.
You got to blanch
the
your
blanched
almond.
Variety yields a fluffier center and light crumb.
Really?
Yeah.
Martha Stewart, her basic pancakes, and I think this can be the standard, Tom.
Okay.
You got flour, all-purpose flour.
Yeah. None of that specialty pancake flour. Yeah,
a cup of that. 2 tablespoons of sugar.
Okay.
So a couple of teaspoons of baking powder, salt, a cup of milk.
How many teaspoons of baby powder?
Baking powder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Unsalted butter, or vegetable oil, a large egg, another, some more vegetable oil, and that's it.
Not to sound like somebody who's in a nursing home accusing the nurse of stealing from them, but are they making eggs smaller?
Where are you getting your eggs, though?
At the store.
You can buy, they have various sizes.
I know, but I feel like the larges aren't as large as they used to be, but I might be thinking, I might have just been used to buying jumbo eggs.
Maybe you're growing.
Maybe
you're getting bigger.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that might be the case. I think I just used to buy jumbo eggs, and now I buy large eggs. And there's extra large, don't forget.
Yeah, is there like, they don't come in small or medium though, right?
Oh, you can get like quail eggs.
Yeah, but it just seems like a real shady marketing thing that's like, it comes in various sizes, you know, like large, extra large, and jumbo. why is there not just regular?
Yeah. No, there are medium eggs.
Medium?
Yeah. I see medium. You can definitely get medium.
I don't ever see medium, Tom, but I don't spend a lot. I don't like eggs.
Yeah. But you can't get small. I think they just don't bother selling small eggs. I heard recently that if a chicken eats an egg, you have to kill it.
Just because, like, it's wrong?
No.
It's against God?
Because you have to be careful. Because it's fucking gross. The devil might come and corrupt. Oh, hello, my friend. The chicken that's eating an egg.
Yeah, and you don't want to deal with a chicken that's made a pact with the devil. God
exactly.
Knows what that chicken's going to be.
No, it's like they get a taste for them.
Okay, well, stop giving it to them. Oh, but if they they got immediate access.
Yeah, and it's basically like, yeah, if an egg breaks and a chicken tries it, they're going to be like, what the heck? Why haven't I been eating these things?
Right.
And that's why you got to kill the chicken. But I was also reading about how, it's only really been like 100 years since we started raising chickens just to eat them.
Really?
That it was, there's a story, you know, it's one of these stories where who knows how much of it's kind of like fabricated.
It's a relic of the roaring 20s, Tom?
Yeah, where, or maybe even the 30s, maybe it hasn't even been 100 years, but somebody ordered like a bunch of chickens.
Coming up on the centennial celebration of killing chickens.
They were like, all right, we're going to order a bunch of chickens. And they ordered like 200 chickens, but they put an extra zero by accident. So they got 2,000 chickens. And they were like, well, this, the fuck are we going to do with all these chickens? It's too many. So they just started, you know, like killing them and, you know, selling them to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, and normally they would only do that once they stopped producing eggs.
Right.
But this worked out. And they were like, hey, nobody's ever thought of this before. Let's just... raise chickens to eat. And then they also started being like, let's make them into monsters. Let's make them so that they're like not,
you breed them to be
just like super chickens that are so big they can't stand up, but right. That doesn't matter to us because we're gonna eat them.
Cool.
But anyway, you keep your chickens away from the eggs.
Morgan Spurlock made
a
sequel to Super Size Me.
Yeah, about chicken, right?
Yeah. Anyway. It wasn't as successful.
Nah, and was it like about that? Like chicken farming being bad?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he started his own like chicken farm or something.
To show you can't actually do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I used to work in the same building as him and take an elevator with him sometimes. Yeah.
He, like, self-me too'd, right?
Yeah.
He, like, came out and was like, I'm a bad man. And everybody's like, okay, cool. We didn't, like, we were at best on the fence about you. So, like, thanks for letting us know. We'll just, like, you know, stop paying attention to
you. Yeah. And I kind of got the impression that he thought that would go differently, that people would be like, wow.
No, Morgan, you're brave.
You're brave. You admitted to it. So we're going to give you a second chance. But it was like, oh, really? Everybody thought you were a nice guy. You're a creep. Get the fuck out of here. Like, We were all over here being shocked to find out the creeps were creeps, but now you're telling us you're a creep too? Then
I remember the day when I came over and you're like, nah, not Harvey Weinstein, no.
Nah, not him. He is such a
never believe it.
A reputation for being a nice guy. Anyway, waffles and pancakes, Tim. What do you like on them? I got a list here of toppings for both.
You know what, Tom? I'll tell you something.
Okay.
All my life, I saw people putting butter on pancakes.
Yeah.
And then putting syrup on pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you guys are driving yourselves to an early grave here unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Like, that's too much. That's a hat on a hat right there, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, the syrup is enough.
Yeah.
Then I tried some. I've only gained an appreciation for butter.
It's fat and sugar. It's not a hat on a hat. It's a hat with like a fun pair of glasses.
It's true. The fat and sugar is also
two different things that will kill you.
Yeah. The fat and sugar is literally in the cake that you're eating for breakfast also.
Right.
And it's just, to me, I don't know. In a perfect world.
Yeah.
You got pancakes that are moist enough. That's just like, hey, I'm gonna raw dog these pancakes.
Yeah, but that perfect world doesn't exist.
I don't know, man.
You need something on it. I mean, you can do it.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe like a compote then.
What's a compote?
Like a fruit.
Yeah. All right.
Right? And that'll juice it up a little bit.
It's not going to be as good as it would if it had some maple syrup on it.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, maple syrup, like, I think if I'm, whereas I was like, just put syrup on it, forget the butter. I think I would, if I had to choose one or the other, I'd flip them. Reverse.
Now you would just put butter on it.
I'd rather the butter than the syrup.
Huh.
A little bit of maple syrup goes a long way for me.
I like just a little bit of butter. I like to just kind of glaze it with butter. And then I don't like
What do you think we're like?
No, because some people love a ton of butter on it too. Like to have it swimming in butter.
You ever especially one of those butter dishes that you keep like not in the refrigerator?
How would the butter stay?
You know, you just like go through it. What is
mean,
that
I
called?
Just go through it. It's going to melt and fall everywhere.
No, it's for so you can have soft butter.
Yeah.
Butter crock is what it's called. Yeah.
Sounds like a crock.
I mean, think about it. Imagine having soft, spreadable butter.
I'd rather a fresh butter.
It's fresh too, Tom.
Not if it's soft. Yeah, keep it in the fridge. Keep it fresh.
No, I would say that a softer butter is more accurate to fresh butter.
Yeah.
They're not churning butter until it's like rock hard.
Well, if the cows are cold. I just like a little butter, and I don't, here's what I don't like about pancakes, I think. I think it's why I like waffles more. I don't like that pancakes will soak up the syrup.
Right.
Because then I have to put more syrup, and I'm always like, it's one of those things where I think I'm just so mindful of, like, this is just liquid sugar.
Right.
That I feel guilty pouring a ton on it. And also, like, I don't want it swimming in syrup.
Right. Hey, you and I were not so different.
Yeah. So I don't like when I pour it on the pancake and then it just soaks it all up. Because it's like, no, I like having a layer of it a little bit. Like, I like kind of being able to, like, swish it around in the syrup. I don't want all the syrup just getting sucked in.
Tom, I got a pitch here.
Okay.
Here's what I don't like.
Just one, it's a pancake waffle, and it's just got one big edge around the side.
Kind of.
Okay.
What I don't like about waffles, and you're going to tell me I'm crazy here, but I do not like the little nooks. I don't like how things collect in there. I get it.
I'm similar in that way of like being a little OCD about like, well, now there's a lot of syrup in this one nook and not in the other.
But also, like, it's hard to evenly distribute things. And then, like, you are like things pool. Like, it's hard to spread
butter
or peanut butter on my son's Eggo.
Right.
Without like it collect. And then there's just too much fucking peanut butter in there because it got caught in there.
Yeah.
What if we merged the pancake and the waffle and have that kind of crispy exterior, mm-hmm. but without the nooks in it, yeah. where it's just flat. It's a pancake, but with the outer texture of a waffle.
Well, I mean, I think what you're describing is just like an overcooked pancake.
No, because you can't get it that way.
I know.
You need a pancake iron.
Yeah.
You need a waffle iron that doesn't have the nooks in it.
Or just has one big nook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also don't want things to pool and collapse. I'd rather it like
but
flow
I'm saying
off.
It's going to... Oh. You know what yeah, I mean? I'm what seeing you're an thinking edge is, around the whole
yeah.
thing.
What about like... Think like an Apple designer, Tom. Uh-huh.
Think like Johnny Ive.
Exactly.
How would he tackle this problem? The sky's the limit as far as money's concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You drizzle maple syrup onto your iPod. You don't have an iPod. Your iPhone.
Uh-huh.
It's not pooling anywhere.
Yeah.
No. When
yeah, because they didn't design
the
it that way.
When the surface area is saturated enough, the rest will just naturally fall off.
What about
off.
This?
We don't need that.
We sell it with a plate, and the plate spins very fast.
Okay, I'm listening.
And that distributes the syrup evenly due to this centrifugal
force. You could do that
force.
With a knife, though.
No, but it not as well.
Huh, the fast spinning plate is intriguing.
I'm talking like very fast spinning, like dangerous.
I feel like you'll get syrup blowback at that point.
The syrup's got to be thick.
Yeah, but that's even worse.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be at like rotating at such a speed.
Yeah, but I guess in my mind, I've still got the one with the wall. You know,
right.
the wall around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, forget about the wall. Think like Ive, my friend.
I mean, I think you're still just describing an overcooked pancake. And I really can't.
No, because that would burn.
Then an overcooked pancake that's not burned. I don't know how you could get the outside crispy without cooking the whole thing that way.
The waffle iron, Tom, but with a smooth,
think it would work with a smooth.
Why not?
It needs some kind of edge.
It has edge. Tom, you're not understanding what I'm saying.
All right. Well, prototype
and
a machine.
I can't tell if you're being, you know, willfully obtuse.
No, I'm not. I get what you're saying, but I don't. You're just pitching kind of like abstract ideas.
Yeah,
and
I know. Of course.
And I need to ground
them
in the
real
world.
I'm like the guy that came up with DoorDash.
Exactly, Tim. And I'm the guy working his ass off trying to figure out how to get to the moon. Hey, yay, yay. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgte.com. You can find all our social media links there, our subreddit, our Discord. You can follow me on social media at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal, Tim.
And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/completeguide. And guess what? It's an exciting week because we're starting a new book. We're reading Way of the Wolf, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah. I just opened it to confirm.
Way of the Wolf by Jordan Belfort. The Wolf of Wall Street himself.
Yeah. He's the premise of this book is he's good now.
He's a good boy now. And he's going to teach you how to use his skills of persuasion.
But only
good.
If you promise to use it for good.
Only if you got a good product to sell.
These are dangerous ideas.
Yeah. It's his book about selling, how to sell.
Yeah. Hear this pitch for Patreon, how it's mm-hmm. bullshit right now.
Oh,
as
boy.
We read this book, this is going to, by the time you listen in 4 weeks,
yeah,
you're going to be like, oh, well, I got to sign
you're
up
gonna,
for the Patreon.
You're
going
to be stumbling to get your credit card out of your wallet. Ooh, I'll pay any price.
Yeah, like the freaking rube you are.
And guess what? By the time we're recording that fourth episode, the price is going sky high.
Yeah.
So get in
get
now.
In now, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't lock it in or anything.
I
well,
think
you can.
Yeah.
You can get the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are ways we could screw you out of that, but...
Yeah, sign up now, because in a month, we're raising the prices by 600%.
Boy, and you think this is a hard sell. We've only read a quarter of the book. Patreon.com/complete guide. You can get this the new episode of Books to Podcasts about that and all the old episodes of Books to Podcasts. It's a great time. Tim, what's your favorite thing to get on? Dealer's choice, waffle or pancakes? Do you have like a go-to, or not even a go-to, just a like, you know what, it's a special day, I'm a special boy, I'd like to do something special here.
I think some sort of fruit compote.
You just love that word, huh?
No, I just like that. And you know what? I've reevaluated, Tub. I think I like waffles better than I like pancakes.
Son of a bitch.
I have this nostalgic.
And it's pronounced compost, and you're using it in the wrong context.
You know, yeah, like old banana peels.
Yeah, Tim, you don't want that on there.
No, I have a nostalgic thing. My dad makes pancakes that are like kind of thinner than a diner pancake.
Wow.
And I really like them, but like push comes to shove, I like the crispiness of a waffle.
Yeah. Do you like chicken and waffles?
No. I never was a fan.
Yeah, I've had it a few times.
This is stuff we should have talked about during the episode.
I know. I don't think I'm a big fan of honey on waffles. And usually chicken and waffles have honey on it.
Yeah.
I kind of like it on chicken. But it's kind of, I don't know, too different. It's like difficult to eat. You know what I mean? Like you're kind of eating two things separately almost.
Yeah. It's like you have to like take a bite of fried chicken. Like,
yeah.
Because it's like usually chicken on the bone.
Right. It's usually like a drumstick or a thigh.
You can't just like get a forkful of like two things at once. You have to like take a bite and then lift a fork to your mouth, which like makes you look like a creep. Like you're enjoying the process too much.
You know what, Tim? I'm looking at this list. I think I like pancakes more. Because I'm thinking about how much I like chocolate chip pancakes and banana pancakes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really came full circle on this one.
Yeah. I have a lot more to say about pancakes and waffles. Maybe we'll do a part two at one point.
All right. We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.